acknowledge the Yuin people who are the traditional custodians of this land, to show our utmost respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Yuin Nation, and extend this respect to all Aboriginal people. Shire also recognises the living culture of the Yuin people and the unique contribution they have made to the Union region. I encourage all councillors once again to speak up nice and loud with a clear voice during debates so that the members of the public can hear us. I would also like to remind councillors that if a proposed an alternative motion or an amendment to a motion which is subsequently carried, then they must also provide a reason for the alternative or amendment for inclusion in the minutes. Alternative amendment motions, alternative or amendment motions forms are available in your desk drawer. So, record of attendance, we have got apologies from Councillor Wilde, who was covered by a leave of absence. I think everyone else is present. Disclosure of interest, I remind anyone intending to disclose an interest during the meeting to complete a disclosure of interest form that can be found on in your desk drawer. If the interest is in impartiality interest, then a statement of impartiality can be found either in your desk drawer or on your desk. This statement should be read out aloud when the meeting reaches a relevant item. I have got one disclosure of interest from Councillor Giz relating to item 13.1, sorry, which is reconsider application for development of approval or expansion of the existing extractive industry. So we'll deal with that when we come to it. Thank you, Councillor Giz. Public question time. Just for clarity for the public, we have discussed extending public question time. For those that aren't aware, the Department of Local Government are actually developing model meeting procedure local rules, which will hopefully come into play or be given to us early next year. So we're really not prepared to alter our, well, at this stage we won't be altering our procedures with regards to time given for public question time. However, we all have agreed, we discussed it amongst ourselves, and I think it's common knowledge, and we did at the last meeting, that if we need to extend, we're happy to extend to at least go to 30 minutes, but it will need to be covered by a motion from or a resolution by council. So we will do our best to get through most of the questions. Our presence will be given to questions received in writing prior to the meeting. Each person will be allowed to ask a maximum of 3 questions before other members of the public are invited to ask questions. If there is sufficient time remaining, once all members of the public have had an opportunity to ask questions and any further questions received in writing have been dealt with, then those with further questions may be invited to speak again. Questions that cannot be addressed during the allotted time will be taken on notice only if they are submitted in writing before leaving the council chamber, and there's forms available on the gallery chairs and on the table inside the chamber doors entrance over there for that purpose. A written response to any question taken on notice will be provided to the questioner, and both questions and responses will be included in the agenda and minutes for the next ordinary council meeting. There will be no further opportunity for members of the public to speak during the meeting once we finish with public question time. There are 4.1 is the response to public question times, the time previously taken on notice. Now, those questions are there, I don't have to read them out. The answers and responses are in the agenda for today. So we're going to go to public questions. Are there any members of the gallery who want to ask any questions? Kate, I'll let ladies go first. Sorry. Let Ed go first. Thanks.
Just say the best part of it. Edward Hartman, Nick Gabby. Obviously, some of this may be irrelevant since your statement just a few minutes ago, but anyway, we'll go as I intended. 3 questions. Question number one. My question is in reference to my question on the 3rd. Question number one, August 2023. Now, the Shire President answer was, I had a discussion with the staff and believed that it was starting to get out of control. We needed to try to get back to a manageable 15 minutes, which I believe is sufficient. End of quote. The question being, is it the Shire's practice that the President, after discussing with the staff, formulates policy, or alternatively, the President discusses with the elected councillors to formulate policy in regards to question time? Your answer was, I decided after speaking to the staff, not I decided after speaking and consulting the councillors which we elect. So I'm asking, does the officers of the staff tell you how to vote, or do their councillors? That's the question.
Well, the clear answer to that question is councillors determine how we vote, but I did discuss it with the CEO and the Governor's Office, Mrs. Bird, prior to the meeting, and the decision wasn't to shorten public question time, it was to be more strict with public question time in the 15 minutes. It didn't preclude councillors from moving that we extend public question time. That's up to the individual councillors, they can certainly move that, which we did, I think, at the
yes.
At that meeting.
Moving on to question two. Now, question time procedure, which is under Local Government Administration Regulations 1996, 7.1, is formulated by A, the person presiding, or B, the majority of councillors, having regard to the requirements of subsection Regulation 2 and 3. So, sub-regulation number 2 is the time allocated to asking and of responding to questions raised by members of the public at a meeting referred to in Regulation 6-1 is to precede the discussion of any matter that requires a decision by the council. My question is, my understanding is that question time takes precedence over normal business with no time limit specified. Now, will the Shire adhere to this regulation?
Can you repeat the question again for me, sorry? Will?
Well, basically, okay, the time allocated to the speaking of and responding to question time raised by members of the public at the meeting referred to Regulation 6.1 is to precede all discussions and any matter that requires a decision to be made. So as I understand it, question time of anyone who wants to ask a question, the council cannot proceed until all the questions have been answered.
No, that's not my understanding.
Well, that's what's written in the regulations.
I'll have to ask Mrs. Bird. I'm going to take that question on notice. I'll take it on notice and investigate it, but that's not the understanding I've been led to believe in my reading of it, but certainly
we'll have different interpretations. It'll be interesting for the Shire's reply on this matter.
Yeah.
Question number three, and final question is, why does the President believe 15 minutes is sufficient when sub-regulation 7-3 states each member of the public who wishes to ask a question at a meeting referred to in Regulation 6-1 is to be given an equal and fair opportunity to ask the question and receive a response, meaning anyone in the council cannot be refused to allow to ask a question. So as long as everyone has to receive the opportunity, a fair an equal opportunity to ask a question at a council meeting.
Once again, I'll take it on notice, but I guess the regulation states that we have to allocate a minimum of 15 minutes.
Minimum,
that's right. However, the length we actually allow for public question time is set down by our model meeting procedures. So that's what I'm saying. So eventually, once we get the model, which the department's working on, every council across the state will be operating under the same regulation.
We can only work with the regulations that are in front of us here, which I'll quote.
I'll take on notice and get Mrs. Bird to investigate it for us, and we'll get back to you.
Well, thank you, councillors, for your time. And no question, but just an observation, if I may, to help you out. I noticed that the booth outside for the coming election and the voting box is located on the counter. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And the booth, whoever installed it, may not realise that both security cameras will be able to notice what the person is voting from the both sides.
Thank you for that. Well, we'll get that investigated, but so. That's yeah. Something for the returning officer to have a look at.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any more questions?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
After June's council meeting, I made a freedom of information request and received a letter, reference F, a short list of 12 items, reference A, which is in here, and four copy invoices, reference B, C, D, and E, from acting CEO Les Crichton. In the letter, he stated, in relation to the inventory list, it did not include the equipment, Europe manufacture, or make model, as these details were not provided within the document. However, copies of the purchase invoices relating to the kitchen equipment provided by Belgravia confirm the details of both. However, none of the information supplied contain these details. I ask again, have Belgravia Leisure provided a further document detailing the make, model, condition, Euro manufacture, and serial number and value for each piece of equipment purchased by the Shire? If they have, may I now please have a copy?
I'll ask the staff to respond, I'm not sure. It's not something council deal with.
Through the chair, the list of that was sent to you in the freedom of information detail the purchase list for both that
No, that was it. There wasn't anything else.
No.
That was it.
Sorry. Do we have no list other than that list?
You don't have anything else.
Well, the list provides the dates of that equipment. It was all more new, so obviously 2022 was the date of the equipment was new. In some of the instances, and bear in mind some of that equipment included bulk cutlery, crockery, and a few other things. Certainly didn't detail which brand of cup it was, or knife, or any of that sort of stuff.
Or refrigerators, or.
No, it didn't. But it did confirm that it was new equipment, it wasn't second hand, and it provided the value.
So, if there wasn't such a list, why were councillors and the public told that it existed at the June meeting? Because it was definitively yes. So,
The definitive answer was the list that was provided was the list that we had.
Yeah, but it didn't have all those details, and that was the specific question I asked then. So, question two. At the June council meeting, we were informed that no independent valuation had been obtained for the items purchased. I would like to know how the Shire considered it prudent to pay Belgravia the full new purchase price for second-hand equipment, and who decided the value of each item, and why were these values so overinflated?
I'm not sure the values were inflated, but
I'll get Aaron to respond here. Thank you. They're not overinflated because it's not just the purchase price of the equipment. If that equipment was removed and then all the infrastructure behind that had to be replaced with another equipment going in, the price would be a lot more than what you see.
But this isn't the Shire's business to either buy it or install it.
It's the Shire's.
The people running the cafe.
It's the Shire's building. Shire's asset, and so the Shire, through Belgravia removing themselves from the lease, entered into a negotiated for them to walk away and leave all the equipment and all the expense that they had borne by putting that equipment in, and it was far, far cheaper than...
You didn't have to enter into buying anything from them. That was their lookout, what they'd invested. And to pay brand new, this stuff was over a year old, you paid a brand new price for it, second hand.
The answer to the question is quite, the council agreed to it, council, and it was new, it hadn't been used, I mean, you know, the cafe wasn't open, we all know the cafe wasn't open, so
it was second hand unused.
Exactly, so council made the decision, rightly or wrongly, that was the decision council made. I can't answer any
further. Well, that's what I'm asking. How was this decision arrived at? Because the values are overinflated.
The answer to the question I've given, you've made a comment, that's your view that was overinflated. I guess council, when we made the decision, didn't think it was.
Well, obviously, yes. And the letter states, the solar system was originally purchased and installed in 2015 by the prior tenant, who decided to purchase an 8-year-old third-hand solar system for the curious amount of $13,636.36, when a solar system of this age is generally considered to have no monetary value. Who is responsible for this complete failure of due diligence regarding our Shire's finances?
Well, the initial purchase was made by Belgravia to the previous owners.
No, the previous owners installed it.
That's right.
I don't know whether Belgravia bought it off them. That was again, they're yes. Okay. Nothing to do with you.
No, Belgravia bought it off the previous tenant.
No, 8 years on, it's not worth anything. At least more, over $13,000. You would know all this if an independent valuation had been done. And I'm just very curious as to why that was never ever implemented.
Well, I'm not going to debate the issue. Obviously, you've got an opinion that if we should have had a valuation done. We were comfortable with the valuation. I'm not sure you're 100% correct when you say that at after 8 years it's of no use. I mean, we're still generating 4
pounds. I didn't say it was of no use. I said it had no monetary value.
Well, that's not how I'd see it. I mean, I've just sold a business with a solar panel on the roof, and we got good money for it.
Well, I'm sure you did, but that's your personal finance.
That's right. So I use my personal experience.
This is ratepayer money.
I use my personal experience when I make the decision within council. I'm sure other councillors do as well. Everyone's got an opinion, and I guess that's why we.
There should be an independent valuation done.
Well, we don't have to. No, there's no requirement under legislation that we have that. There is if you're spending over $250,000, but when you're spending small amounts, there's not. I mean, you've got some discretion.
Well, you might have, but if you think that's small amounts, and then, you know, the rates go up. I don't think this has been handled properly. You know, and why were you buying ketchup bottles and plates? That's nothing to do with the landlord, with a leased building. That's nothing to do with it. It's all to do with the people that are running the cafe.
I'm not going to debate the issue. It's done. I mean, we've made the decision.
Yes, it is. And I think it's decidedly, well, as I say, I don't think due diligence has been done. No. And I think it's appalling that an independent valuation wasn't done on this.
No, I understand that we're hearing your concerns, but the decision's been made.
You're hearing my concerns, but somehow you want to slide out from it.
All right, any other questions? If not, we'll move on. Petitions. So that's item 5 is petitions, and I have been handed a petition by the CEO, and the report is there. There's a recommendation on the bottom of page. Under petitions,
just received.
So the council's got that? The council's got a copy of the recommendation?
No.
Okay, so it's on the screen. So because it's only been handed to us now, it's the staff have done the recommendation. Sorry.
Correct.
So I've got a copy. So the recommendation is on the screen. That is, I'll read it out. In accordance with clause 5.1(3)(b) of the Shire of Ginger Meeting Procedures Local Law 2014, the petition will be received and referred for a report from the CEO. Move, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Second, Councillor Dodd.
Can I ask what petition is?
I'll leave it there. All right. It reads, the petition of 45 signatures in total comprising, as far as can be ascertained, 28 signatures from electors and 17 signatures from non-electors has been received by the CEO prior to the meeting. The petition reads as follows. I'll just clarify that. Those numbers were checked off on the roll, the electors' roll, and at the time of the when we received the petition. So the petition reads as follows. We, the undersigned, all being electors of the Shire of Gingin, do formally request our council's consideration of the following. It says, Dear Aaron, as Gingin Ratepayer Collective members are concerned about the lack of sustainable and consistent tourism initiative and development in our electorate. Under Section 3 of the Local Government Act, the Shire of Gingin is required to promote the economic, social and environmental sustainability of the district. This includes tourism developments. Some of the most positive tourism contributors in the area include the following. Nature-based camping on private properties, estimated at 2,500 people per day being brought to the area. Four-wheel driving access to the beach, attracting up to 120,000 people a year. Dot point three is kite surfing, windsurfing access to the beach. Dot point four was supporting and promoting local business owners. These initiatives appear to be hampered, restricted and choked by council policy. The local planning strategy or scheme 9 mentions tourism 49 times and very little is occurring. Additionally, the local planning scheme 9 is out of date and the Gingin Shire is currently not undertaking any revisions. We're requesting that a tourism committee be formed, including not less than 5 members of the public, as part of an advisory and consultation team to liaise with members of the community and work with the Shire to identify and support tourism developments. We are also requesting for a 12-month postponement and full review in that time on the current coastal chairman. Happy then?
Yeah.
Any questions? Is anyone opposed to the recommendation?
No.
Then it's carried. Confirmation of the minutes. There's 2 lots. So we've got recommendation on the screen. We'll deal with them both together. So that's it. The mover's happy and the second is happy. Move Councillor Johnson, second Councillor Fiss. So we're dealing with the ordinary council meeting held on the 15th of August 2023. And a special council meeting on 17th of August 2023, which is a true and accurate record. Anyone opposed? So I need a move as well. I've got a move in a second.
Yep, Councillor Johnson.
Carried. Announcements for our presiding member. I have got a couple. First of all, just acknowledge the 2 deputations we had prior to the meeting, one from Simon O'Hara, Stateless Planning and Peter Keating Bioscience, in regard to item 13.2, and speakers, the second deputation was from Pat Chinning, Mark Eads, and Jeff Howe, and the topic was erosion in front of LVMRG radio room at Grace Valley Park, and the proposing public funding and installation of trigger point sandbagging. And the other announcement, which is pleasurable one to read out, is the recognition of the 2021-22 financial audit. And I'm very pleased to announce that the Office of Auditor General has recognised the Shire of Gingin as one of the top 20 best practice entities for its 2021-22 audit. The quality of financial reporting was measured against the following criteria: timeliness of financial statements, quality of financial statements and notes, and quality of working papers. Resolution of accounting issues and availability of key staff. To make the top 20 out of 148 local governments an outstanding result, and on behalf of the council, I'd like to extend our thanks and congratulations to all the Shire officers who have been involved in the annual audit process, and they've put many hours and hard work to achieve this result. And we did have the staff in because we were starting the meeting late. We asked that the 4 of the girls came in from the finance department. Les was busy, he didn't get there, so Les is as their manager. We made a point of getting in and thanking them and congratulating them for the hard work. Just to repeat a bit of what I said. I mean, I think it's a great result. They put a lot of hard work into it, especially since only a couple of years ago we undertook a massive change with our accounting program. We've gone from what was Synergy Soft, I think, to Altus. Accounting, which has been a pretty traumatic change for some of the staff. It's taken a long time to sort of really get ahead with it, because we're the first shot, I think, in the state to take on Altus. There are some others now, and we're actually helping them work their way through it. But also, just to thank the staff, I mean, I did mention that I know just driving past here, living in town, gives me the opportunity. You drive past, you see the lights on at 6, 7 o'clock at night. Sometimes the doors are still working. I know they went a couple of weekends ago getting rate notices out over the weekend. So we certainly appreciate all the hard work that they put in, and a few get past those thanks on once again to us, to especially other girls, because a couple didn't come in, and congratulate them. Thank you very much. Les, we appreciate it, and obviously you do your management of that department, it's a pedigree cap, thank you.
Outstanding, Chase, well done.
Well done, mate.
Item 9 is unresolved business from previous meetings. There are no questions by members of which due notice has been given, there are none. We move into 11, which is reports from CEO's office. 11.1, the local emergency management arrangements. And the recommendation is on page 13. Move, Councillor Bidds. Second, Councillor Johnson. Do you want to propose questions?
No, just a question or clarification. We'll do the recommendations as it is. We've got no problems. It does make mention in the commentary about referring to Appendix 710 or whatever, and one of the items towards the end there says private water providers in the confidential section. I guess for the public to understand, we deal with the local emergency management plan and the act of blah, 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 which is public information, is where we put a summary of those appendixes that are applicable for general public to, so they know what we're talking about. I suppose there's something in there, but it does make reference to appendixes, and the public don't know what those references
are. Yeah, unfortunately, Councillor Bessie, the document is not a public document. The local emergency management plan sits within. Within the committee, but because there's some commercial and confidential stuff in that that relates to government departments, contractors, service providers, it is a confidential document. Obviously, those that use the document certainly got access to it, but we do have to be. I think there is an abridged version that goes out, or it can be an abridged version, which is pretty basic. But the document's about, I don't know, 53 pages thick. And takes a bit to get through, but it is confidential. So.
Yeah, that was fine. I'll just make a comment.
Move, Councillor Bidd, second, Councillor Johnson. Do you want to oppose? Item 12 is reports from Corporate Community Services. List of paid accounts for August 2023. Recommendations on page 15. Move, Councillor. Welcome. Second, Councillor Bidds. Do you want to oppose? That's carried. Item 12.2 is the monthly financial report for the period ending 31st of July to the 31st of August. Recommendation is on page 22. Move with Councillor Kessel, second Councillor Bidds. You want to oppose? That's carried. Item 13, reports, regulatory development services.
I need to ring up my
Yes, thank you. Councillor Bidds has declared interest in this office, so I'll give you a little bit of that.
When disclosing any, with regard to item 13.1, I disclose that my husband is involved in a sand mining business. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that any comments made by myself are based entirely on the merits of the issue being discussed.
Okay, so recommendations on page 68. Move, Councillor Sorensen. Councillor Bell. No questions? Anyone opposed? Yes. Carried. Item 13.2. This is when we have the application on today. Application for development approval proposed composting facility on Lot 7791 Normal Road West. Yeah, recommendation is on page 88. I'll just think, so I'm going to move on and then I'll go to Mr. Burris if he wants to comment. Move Councillor Sorensen, second Councillor Viz. Mr. Burris, you get a chance to respond.
For the Chair, I think the report speaks for itself. I won't have any comment at this stage and have an answer to any question.
Any councillors got any questions or? Anyone opposed to the recommendation? That's carried. Item 13.3 is application for amendment to development approval for recreation private botanical garden and aviary tours on lot 552 Ferguson Road in Beermark. Recommendations on page 541. Thank you, Councillor Kestrel.
I'll second the
motion. Councillor Johnson, seconded.
Could I ask this point?
Yes.
Mr. Burris, you might know that in the letter from the applicant, it goes on to say, item 3 is events hosting, weddings and functions and outdoor cinemas. Recommend opening hours 8 to 12 p.m. 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Do you know if that is for the? Because it's not really covered in the recommendation. Is that like a future planning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's quite clear.
Through the Chair, yes. The recommendation relates to the rec private component, to the botanical garden and aviary tours.
Yeah.
And I think beyond that, you require a separate approval, so...
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Move Councillor Kessler, second to Councillor Johnson. Anyone opposed?
I have a question quickly. Yes. Just in relation to Baraka Road functions and the conditions of, to that, with this in the application that Councillor Johnson mentioned, the amend opening hours from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. to cater for inclusion of events and functions. This has been circulated to the property owners, I assume. But with the Baraka Road Functions Centre having problems with air hours and access and usage on the road, we've done the same assessment with this proposed request.
Through the Chair, this doesn't relate to the wedding venue component of their proposal. So this is purely the botanical garden and aviary tours.
So in their application, on my page 547 on the with their application, seek to amend our current approval to include the below. So that's not been included in the amendment.
Correct. And look, I take note that it is confusing. However, I want to reiterate that the recommendation specifically references the rec private component of the development.
And does specify the hours of operation. So it's just that when I read that, it just seemed to me unclear. Like, were they wanting that or not wanting that at this point in time? But it certainly isn't referencing the recommendation.
You don't think the first sentence covers it?
What?
The council granted development approval for the amendment to the recreation.
Yes, but it's not.
No, I suppose.
For me, it's not addressing what they say in their application.
Yeah.
You need to add another dot point?
I don't know whether dot point 6 covers it. Your development can only operate between the following hours. And I don't know whether it's. But it says it's development approval for amendment to the recreation.
Through the Chair, we could add an advice note that says this approval should not be misconstrued as approval to operate.
Yes, you have
to set things out.
Yeah. Which is clarified. Yeah. Yeah, James, looking.
I'm happy to
get this done with that.
Is that amended?
Yes, it's to add an advice note.
Yeah, so isn't that amended?
Yeah. Someone's going to move
amendment. I'll do that.
Councillor Belton's moved the amendment.
I'm probably not.
We can see it in the hand.
Have we got a second of the meeting to deal with this? We're going to pass that first.
No. You've got the show, back.
Yeah, disappointing. I didn't get any pads or anything, any writing pads.
It's a specific request. There's no small bars.
You may do a team.
There's a pad, it's a case.
Just give us a second, councillors, we'll get it on the screen. No rush. Thank you, Tom. Which is obviously down the track, but
Does that need covering? I know that they would have to put in a, like a development application or, and for planning approval, so is, should that have an advice note?
Does this not cover it, Councillor Johnson?
What?
The one that's on the screen at the moment.
What is that, sir?
The amendment. And what?
Dendon.
Oh, yeah.
Read the motion.
No, okay. Well, we can't. So we did try to catch that.
I'm seeking a second of the amendment.
I seconded it.
Councillor Pettigrew. So, Councillor Belton's moved the amendment, seen the Councillor Pettigrew. Now, are we clear? We're voting, we're going to vote in a minute.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to speak on the amendment? No? All right, so we're going to vote on the amendment first. Does anyone oppose the amendment? No, so that's carried. Now, that will form part of the substantive motion, which is above there now. And that was moved by, I wrote it down, Councillor Kessler, Councillor Johnson. Is anyone opposed to the substantive motion? The motion that it is now? No, so that's carried as well, thank you. Very confused.
Not for me.
Item 13.4 is the application for proposed two-lot subdivision, Lot 2, Orange Springs Road, Orange Springs. And the recommendation is on page 25.
I'll move that.
Move Councillor Johnson, second Councillor Sorrell.
If I could, I have a question for Mr. Bellis. So, Mr. Bellis, if the National, whatever it's called, Trust decide that it isn't quality, or you know, good, they want it. So does that mean that this falls away?
Through the chair, that would be my interpretation there.
Yeah.
And we would have to have confidence in the state to do that.
Yes.
Their policy, their decision maker. But suggesting that they should be satisfied.
And does the land, if the National Trust say this is fine, we should do this, does the land then transfer to them? Or does it stay in the applicant's name?
No, it stays in the applicant's name. And that's one thing some won't get caught out on is they'll do this, they'll tie up their property and distribute the government for vegetation purposes, and then try and sell it to DVCA. And the DVCA says, well, why don't we buy it to protect it?
Yeah. Thank you.
So Mr. President, I have a question. Then does the rating or valuation of property for rating purposes decreases with that covenant or restrictive covenant put on us?
No.
It's the crop you then.
Through the chair, potentially. Yes.
It's certainly, I mean, in the case of the Bales spoke of, if we went to DVCA, we would automatically be exempt to rights. So that would be the extreme. It would have been retained in the current ownership, still has an impact on the valuation problem. So I understand flows through to the gating of that problem.
Well, but I would have thought that it might be an increase rate.
It may increase the value of the property because you've got to protect it. So you can't say whether it's a decrease or increase.
No, really. So we need a dot point two, just to then to make sure it's just the advice we're giving to WAPC, a dot point two to say that we only support this if it's
approved.
If it's approved by a trust.
Well through the chair. It's up to council, but my point would be that the wording again says that is supported subject to the following. So if they don't meet that, then naturally it would follow that it's not supported.
I guess my support is conditional on the trust. I don't want to go to DVCA the village rates on it. They get a subdivision through and they sell it to DVCA, we lose rates.
Through the chair, it's not the local governments. You know, we can't control who buys what.
No. I like it. Okay.
Put that on the
Any other questions?
No.
recommendations made by Councillor Johnson, seconded by Councillor Sorensen. Anyone opposed? And that one's carried. Reports, operations and assets, nothing, motions of which previous notes have been given, nothing, council official reports, acknowledgement and recognition of community volunteers. Councillor Pesca submitted one in writing there, thank you for that. Any other reports, go around the room quickly. Councillor Pesca, any more?
No, I haven't talked about it anymore, Mr. President.
Thank you. I heard Councillor Balfour
said one in. Do not look surprised.
Okay, to Councillor Johnson first. Councillor Johnson? I've got none, unless Councillor Kessel was. Are you going to report on the weekend?
Sorry, I haven't just got anything out, but I'll say the...
Same, obviously, in your report. I've been at the Wagga conference for the last 2 days with Councillor Sorensen and Aaron. So that was good. And yes, I'll submit one on that one, giving a bit of a brief outline of what we listened to.
And my report is I attended the Gingin CRC bi-monthly meeting last night, and they have signed off all their contracts with staying in place. So that is now up and running. They've employed a coordinator, and they have some people that need care and some people that are ready to provide care. So the system is working and it's all signed off now. So
Nice work. That's fabulous.
Just a quick verbal, the Gingin Sporting Committee had a very good weekend in the Mollop finals, winning the B-grade netball, the A-grade netball, went down in the junior netball, they lost the B-grade football by 5 points and won the league football by 5 goals, so very good weekend all round. So,
is Mr. Bales
playing? Mr. Bales played in the B grade.
Playing the losing side.
At least you participated. Get rid of
it. Councillor Sorensen.
As Councillor Bales was saying, I attended the Wagga convention, 23. Very, very interesting. I'll put a written report in for the next meeting.
Thank you. I've only got one, and I'm not sure how accurate it is. I asked Mr. Crichton to find out a bit more information, but I understand one of our local girls has been chosen to represent the state in equestrian events in over east. They're driving across, I think, very shortly. So she probably needs to be congratulated on that as well. They were seeking some.
I can actually add to that. Cody McCarthy, another resident, a year 7 student that we have, is being chosen to go to the World Championships in Texas for rodeo.
For rodeo, yes.
With my nephew as well.
Congratulations to those. Maybe I might be able to get maybe some of those out. Some of those will give you more information.
That's what we need to see.
All right. Now, new business of nature, we have got one that's come up as new business of nature needs to be dealt with today, but this is a confidential item, so I'm going to go. It relates to a purchase of a plot of land which I was considering for expansion of sporting facilities down the track. So, the recommendation, I think, is a check to came out.
I'll move that we will be the confidential
session. Yeah, so Councillor Johnson's moved, we move the confidential second to Councillor Balcombe. Anyone opposed? I'm going to go up some members of the public to leave.